As a gay man, all I want is to be represented in Parliament by my Prime Minister. And I don't necessarily feel I fully am, but I know at least that she's trying.
That's James Barr, one of the hosts of the podcast, A Gay and a Non-Gay. And we're asking, is Theresa May jumping on the LGBTQ plus bandwagon on this episode of The Gender Knot, the podcast where we untangle the new masculinity and femininity? I'm your host, my name is Nastran Tavakoli Farr, but you can call me Naz, and we're trying to figure out gender roles for the modern era. So let's jump in. This week we ask, is Theresa May jumping on the LGBTQ plus bandwagon? She attended the Pink News Awards last month and was the first sitting UK Prime Minister to do so. Some people have praised her for this, whereas others have seen it as a cynical move by a PM trying to curry up favour from this community. We delve into this with James Barr and Dan Hudson, the hosts of the podcast A Gay and a Non-Gay.
She's given a statement, or maybe she's given a couple of statements, but they're not exactly like, oh my God, I can't believe the transformation. It's all very cynical, it's all
like... We go into her voting record, we debate if people can change, and if we should hold people accountable for past views and actions, and much more.
I think you have to give people, sometimes, a bit of a break.
What is her voting record in recent times?
I don't know if we have to give her a break, actually. I think we do have to come for her and say that was wrong. But she's said that. So now...
But that was wrong then, but now she's doing the right thing,
well,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it's like she made a mistake then, but now she's...
It's not a mistake, though, is it? It's a whole mindset.
She
didn't accidentally walk into the wrong voting lobby, did she?
We are super excited to have James Barr and Dan Hudson on the show this week. First, a quick plug. A Gay and a Non-Gay is one of the best podcasts out there. So co-producer Katie Vogue and I are massive fans. And each week, James and Dan discuss a range of issues in short and snappy episodes. They push each other and they argue lots. And while a lot of it is lighthearted and entertaining and fun... What is really cool is that they actually end up discussing a lot of really important topics and concepts in the process. So, for example, okay, one of their early episodes, I always think of this one. It was about whether you should shower before using the gym. So it starts off all jokey and stuff, but they basically ended up talking about things like public space, how we relate to strangers and levels of respect. So it was pretty deep and fundamental stuff, even though it started off all bantery. And it's funny because that actually happens on quite a lot of their episodes. Also, they recently had an episode looking at the Me Too campaign, and that was really, really good. So do check that out as well. So it's all clever while being fun too, which is what we're all about on The Gender Knot. Also, fun fact, so I recently nearly got run over on Charing Cross Road while listening to this podcast because I was laughing so hard that I had to stop walking, and this happened in the middle of the road, and then all these cars kept honking at me really angrily. I've also seen Katie break down on the pavement on several occasions because she's laughing so hard because she's basically listening to this podcast. Now, I'm not sure how good of an endorsement this is. You know, you may get into accidents if you listen to this podcast, but we're just being honest about how fantastic it is. Okay, so before we go into this week's discussion, also a heads up to all our listeners based in or near London. James and Dan have a live event coming up this Thursday, that's 9th November, and it's at Waterstones on Tottenham Court Road. They're going to be interviewing Daryl Bullock, the author of the book David Bowie Made Me Gay, 100 Years of LGBT Music. Tickets are £7 and that also gets you a themed cocktail. I will be there and I'm super excited. Come and say hi to me and hear these guys do their thing live. We've linked to the event in the details for this episode, so check it out. Okay, so on to this week's episode. We're trying to answer the following question. Is Theresa May jumping on the LGBTQ plus bandwagon? So, first up, some background for you. On October 18th, Theresa May attended the Pink News Awards. These awards celebrate the contributions of entertainers, business people, campaigners, politicians, and community groups to improving LGBTQ plus life in the UK. Theresa May was the first sitting UK Prime Minister to attend these awards, which were also attended by Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn and the Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan. Now, there's been a bit of debate over the Prime Minister's visit. Some people have been excited and have praised her for doing this, and for the speech she gave at the awards where she vowed to make sex education LGBT inclusive, but others think it's a totally cynical move. This is a person who has not always voted in favour of this community in the past, and from a party which doesn't have the best track record when it comes to support for LGBTQ plus issues, which we're gonna go into during this episode. So we decided to untangle this all with the hosts of A Gay and a Non-Gay. Now, I was catching up with them over some tea recently, and James, he's the gay half of the duo, thought Theresa May's attendance was a positive move. Dan, the non-gay half of the duo, was on the other end of the debate and thought it was totally cynical. And to be honest, I was kind of in the middle. By the way, I'm heterosexual, just telling you that in case you think it's important to know when listening to our discussion. So the three of us decided to record our thoughts and to try and figure this all out. By the way, around halfway through, I'm going to jump in to fill you in on Theresa May's voting record. Also, we mentioned Section 28 quite a few times. In case you're unclear on this, or if you're one of our large chunk of listeners who live outside the UK, Section 28 was an amendment to the Local Government Act of 1988, which stated that a local authority, quote, shall not intentionally promote homosexuality or publish material with the intention of promoting homosexuality, or promote the teaching in any maintained school of the acceptability of homosexuality as a pretended family relationship. Enter those quotes. This was repealed across the whole of the UK by 2003. In the details to this show, we've also linked to quite a few articles which give more background on all this, so do check them all out if you think that's helpful. Okay, on to our discussion. Heads up that we hear from Dan Hudson first. Here it goes.
So, our question, is Theresa May jumping on the LGBTQ plus bandwagon? Dan?
I think undoubtedly yes. Because previously, the Conservative Party, especially in the 90s when she was there, they had all sorts of ridiculous legislation, like Section 28, which we all know...
Is hideous.
So to go from that to suddenly be... I don't have to say it without saying to now suddenly being on the bandwagon. But to go from that to giving out sort of pro-LGBT messages as if you haven't done that, is getting on the bandwagon.
No. Yes, but I'm trying to unpick all of that, Dan. I agree with what you're saying, but I don't think it... Okay, so here's a question. Is that bad?
Yeah, that's a better question, I guess, because... Well, no, I mean, what's she going to do? It's now thoroughly ridiculous.
But you know, also, I take, like, low-key offence to it being called a bandwagon. Like, what does that even mean? What is a bandwagon? And B, are you calling LGBTQ plus human rights? Or just even human rights? You're calling that a bandwagon?
Well, I think maybe that's the point, that she's treating it like a cool thing.
Is she?
I don't...
I mean, if she is... Maybe that's bad, but does it matter if it has the same effect internationally?
Other world leaders are going to, you know, like stick up for gay rights?
I agree with Stonewall, and we've talked about this on our podcast before. They say that you shouldn't just slap a rainbow flag on a hamburger to get sales. You should have an inclusive workspace inside your company. I agree with that. I think that's very important. There is still a benefit to a burger chain slapping a burger with a rainbow, because they're telling everybody that buys that burger that LGBTQ plus rights need to be listened to.
I don't think so, though. They're just trying to make money out of thinking that it's cool to be into that, no?
Okay, sure, they're making money, but as a gay person, I'm speaking for myself, I'm not speaking for the community, but I personally feel that that's still having a good knock-on effect. Because they're not, for example, slapping a "we hate gays" on a burger, which would obviously be awful. And maybe then you would say, oh, they're jumping on the hate bandwagon that's fueled Brexit and the Conservatives getting into power and Trump getting into power in America. Like, you could argue that they could go that way. So which way would you prefer it to be?
Personally, I feel, and it's not my community, so I obviously don't speak for the LGBT community, just to be crystal clear. But I feel like if you're going to use any political issue to sell your product or your service, then you should be doing something for those people, because otherwise it is purely profit-driven.
Which is exactly what Stonewall is saying, and I agree with that, I agree with you. But I am saying also there is a knock-on effect in a small way in that they are promoting inclusivity nationwide. So in the case of Theresa May, she's attended the Pink News Awards and everyone on Twitter is up in arms, like, how dare she? And Dan, as a non-gay, you're also very up in arms because you're very liberal and you see this for what it is. And in your head, you're like, she should not be attending that event because her record has been terrible.
So we're looking at her voting going back to 1998 and we're in 2017. people change, though, don't they? Society changes. Like, that's a good 19 years.
Yeah, but I think you should still be held responsible for things that you've done in the interest of the public, whether it was 20 years ago or 20 days ago. Jeremy Corbyn doesn't get away with people just going, oh, well, that was in the 80s.
But she said in July of this year, so it was an article for Pink News. Okay, I'm going to quote her. She said, I'm proud of the role my party has played in recent years in advocating a Britain which seeks to end discrimination on the grounds of sexuality or gender identity. But I acknowledge where we have been wrong on these issues in the past. And then she continues, there will justifiably be scepticism about the positions taken and votes cast down through the years by the Conservative Party and by me compared to where we are now. So she's kind of acknowledged that, you know, maybe she didn't vote in the right way in the past, but she's moved on. But you still don't think that's enough?
Yeah, but that's just as, you know, Tony Blair rocks up now and again and sort of has a low-key bit of an apology and people sort of go, oh, well, he wasn't that bad. It was only Iraq. It was only that. But I just don't think that's good enough. The irony here, of course, is that the Tories were the party that introduced gay marriage. And I think
that's not true. Yeah, no, the Tories were in a coalition with the Liberal Democrats who made that very much part of their agenda. So the Tories get the benefit of that moment. But I really do think the Liberal Democrats deserve a bit of kudos about that actually happening.
True. However, I think in 1997, with 480 seats in Parliament, that Labour could have pushed that if they wanted to.
They could have, yeah, absolutely. And then they didn't. No, why not?
It's too much of a risk for them, for Tony Blair. Because
I tell you what Labour did do, though. They did pave the way because they lowered the age of consent for gay men. I'm pretty sure that was 1997. I remember that happening.
Yeah.
So they did begin that journey. And you can't just change things overnight. And this is the thing I'm trying to say. Like, Theresa May is like your racist, like, great granddad who has had to change his opinion because society's moved on without him. And actually, that's probably what's sort of caused these backlash votes in recent years, because we've got an older generation who are like, whoa, what the fuck is happening? We're slightly behind here. You've got a little bit ahead of where I'm at, and my head hasn't changed yet. And it's social conditioning. So it annoys me when I see people hating on Theresa May, and I'm not a Theresa May fan, P.S., but like, they're hating on her, and I'm like, no, hold up. This is the British Prime Minister. Forget her. It's the British Prime Minister going to Pink News Awards. That's the first time a British Prime Minister has done that. And with what's going on in America and in Russia, doesn't that look good?
Okay, so how would you feel if the incumbent American president turned up?
Well, that would obviously be very different. We're not discussing that. If you want to discuss that, we can discuss that.
Yes, let's discuss that.
Why would it be different, though?
Because he hasn't changed his ways, and he would be doing exactly what we've just talked about in slapping a rainbow on a burger without actually believing in what he's talking about. I mean, he tried to ban trans people from serving in the military, which, as we've discussed on our podcast, is ridiculous because trans people are the bravest, most amazing people ever. And to suddenly decide that they shouldn't serve is ridiculous, because actually they've gone through that journey, which is, you know, so hard. And then they've decided that actually they're not important. They want to serve the country. What an amazing person to do that. So he's a dick. So this is
an authenticity issue. Like, you wouldn't trust it if it was Trump turning up at the awards, but you do trust it when it's Theresa May.
I guess so, because Theresa is saying, and this is a quote, we're determined to eradicate homophobic and transphobic bullying. She's pledged to introduce inclusive sex and relationship education. A huge U-turn from where we were with Section 28. And yes, she's from the same party as Section 28. And yes, she's a woman. And the last Prime Minister to be a woman was Margaret Thatcher, who installed Section 28. But that doesn't mean that that is her rule. And yes, she voted differently in the past, but she's surrounded by other people telling her things. Is she woke? Is that what we're saying? I don't know if she's woke, but she's in the moment. She's going, actually, I'm hearing these voices and it's correct. Trump, like I said, is being a dick because he's not changing the way he's behaving. He's actually he's turning America backwards. He's taking trans people out of the military or trying. He's not pro-LGBTQ+ right now. So he can't turn up to the Pink News Awards, and he wouldn't dream of doing it anyway.
She's given a statement, or maybe she's given a couple of statements, but they're not exactly like, oh my God, I can't believe the transformation. It's all very cynical. It's all like, and I can imagine how she delivered it with the normal sense of excitement that she speaks. There's no. It's
what
just,
do you want from
it's just words?
See, I think that's an issue. That's an issue. What you've just said. Why do you need her to be excited?
It's just words, isn't it? It doesn't.
Yeah, because I was going to ask.
Evidence.
But I mean, what's she done?
When
exactly?
have you ever heard a speech from David Cameron that sounded excited?
Or we can talk about David Cameron as well. If
which
you like.
Other? Okay. Well, what prime minister have you listened to that sounded excited when he read a speech out? What I mean, what is but, that such an odd thing to say? Excited. You're feeding into the Maybot thing.
No,
that's what
not.
You're doing. You're being quite rude about her because you don't like her delivery. That is not what we're talking about. We're not talking about her performance. But yeah, what are you saying?
Excited isn't the word, obviously.
And also, her being excited is surely more. Bandwagon jumping.
Right.
No?
Yeah, because oh my she god, was so happy exactly. to be here, guys. Oh my god. Check you out. You look fabulous. Theresa May in the house. That's not gonna happen, is it? What do you want from her? What
I know
do you
I
want
that
from
time.
Her? As a gay man, all I want is to be represented in Parliament by my Prime Minister. And I don't necessarily feel I fully am, but I know at least that she's trying. And whether that's a bandwagon because she thinks it will get her more votes, or whether it's because she genuinely thinks this country needs to be open and inclusive. Does it matter? Yes. It does matter. It does matter. I've answered my question. It absolutely does matter.
But I'll say something, though. While I am so anti-bandwagon jumping and, like, fetishizing other people's issues and stuff, because that's kind of what bandwagon jumping feels like. So I am Iranian, and in Iran, homosexuality is punishable by death. And it's one of 10 countries. So when I think of the fact that even if it's for a cool factor, just the fact that it's cool in this country for your prime minister to turn up at these awards,
right?
That's kind of awesome in itself.
It is.
Even if it is bandwagon jumping.
And it sends a massive message.
Right.
And so I don't really care if she's on a bandwagon. Unless, and I'm talking from a now perspective, today, if she turns up in Parliament tomorrow and she decides to turn her back on the things she said, fuck her. Like, I hate her. She's an awful person. But if we're going by now, and I think that's how we have to go, we have to, you can't let the past blend into the present. You have to go with now, right?
Yeah. We should have looked at her voting record because
I've got it here.
Have you?
Yeah.
Like, up to the present.
I have it here. So, hang on.
If I'm right, I'm not sure she changed her votes massively until around about 2010.
Okay.
So she's very fresh to the LGBTQ plus agenda, is what I'm thinking.
Hey, it's Naz. I'm quickly going to jump in to give you a brief overview of Theresa May's voting record on LGBTQ plus issues. Again, we've linked to her record in full in the details to this show. Here, I'm just going to fill you in on a couple of the key votes, though there are many more. But this is just so you get a bit of a sense of how her voting record has changed in general, as well as the approximate timeline of those changes. In June 1998, she voted against reducing the age of consent for homosexual acts from 18 to 16. This would have brought equality to the law with regards to homosexual and heterosexual acts. November 2002, she voted no on the Adoption and Children Bill, suitability of adopters. This would have allowed gay couples to adopt children. October 2004, she voted to introduce civil partnerships for LGBT couples. And in February of 2013, she voted in favour of allowing same-sex couples to marry. In fact, in 2010, she told the Question Time programme that, quote, "I have changed my view. If these votes were taken today, I would take a different vote," end quote. Okay, back to our discussion.
So the first one I've got here is June 1998, voted against reducing the age of consent for homosexual acts from 18 to 16, bringing equality to the law affecting heterosexual and homosexual acts.
Which is what Labour got through.
Yes, yeah, so she voted against it.
But Labour got it through.
But also, that's 1998, because I think this timing thing is quite important, because it's like, I don't know, like people change, right? Which we went...
Yeah, I mean, yeah. 10 years previous to that, I mean, just like, over 10 years previous to that, that papers like The Sun were printing stuff like, gas gay people so that AIDS doesn't spread, just get rid of them. Like, that was front page. You know, MPs were saying that, priests were saying that. Fast forward 15 years, you know, I'd come out to my mum probably around the year 2000, and she's still got a bit of that in her head. She's like, oh my God, my son's going to die of AIDS because he's come out as gay. That's what she thinks because she's been told that by The Sun, and it takes a long time to get rid of that shit because media is so powerful and...
Culture change, yeah.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, she's an MP at that point, and she represents the people, but she really doesn't. I mean, what do MPs really represent us?
Yeah,
or do they
she represents the people of Maidenhead. Who
I
voted
don't know.
For
I
her.
Feel like that. I don't know. They
so
voted
she
for
absolutely
her,
does.
Does
do
an
that.
MP sit there and go, "Oh, I represent my public," or does she go, "They voted for me, so my opinion is valid"?
No,
like,
because
where's the line on that?
Because they have a manifesto. Right.
Well, I don't know. Whatever.
You do know.
I don't. I knew the Prime Minister did. I didn't know local MPs did that. Basically, yeah, she voted that because she's being socially conditioned to think a certain way, as were shitloads of people, including probably loads of your friends, Dan, and people you were at school with. Don't tell me you didn't make gay jokes at school.
That is different when you're like 10.
It is not.
Okay, well, I'm going to hold you accountable for everything that you did when you were 10.
Which is what you're doing to Theresa May, though, because this was 1998.
She's an adult. She's an adult.
No, Dan.
This was 1998 in a different climate, and now she's turned around in July of this year and said whatever she said about how I acknowledge where we've been wrong on these issues in the past. So, like, you know, that's like 19 years ago that she voted that way.
Yeah, but she was still an adult then, so it's not the same as me
an adult in a really different social climate, though, no?
Yeah, exactly. An adult in a different social climate with a load of people that voted for her in a different social climate. It's just not comparable. I actually studied social psychology, and the teacher really offended me. This is going to go there, by the way. This is quite real. I was really offended, but I had to take myself back and kind of see it from a different side and realize that he was probably saying something quite valid, and I really learned from it. He said that...
How old was he?
He must have been 60.
Okay.
And he was like...
And was this recently?
This was about a year ago.
Okay.
We were talking about Nazi Germany and how quickly that fell into one of the worst things that's happened to the world ever. And he said it happened because he was telling people what they wanted to hear, and he slowly but surely socially conditioned them to make everybody think that Jewish people were evil. He managed to do that. He lied to the people. This is why Trump is so terrifying, but let's not go back to that again. And then he said to me, this is a quote, this is the teacher, he says, I mean, just 50 years ago, gay people were being arrested and now suddenly they're getting married. I find that really shocking how quick that's happened. That's crazy to me. And I was like, oh my God, are you homophobic? But you have to think, you have to go, okay, I can see why that must look weird to you, because something that you've been told is really wrong is now suddenly like celebrated. If you've gone through that entire journey over the course of your life and you haven't understood it, that's kind of shocking, really. So Theresa May, yeah, back then, big mistake. And props to Jeremy Corbyn for voting correctly the whole time. But I think you have to give people sometimes a bit of a break.
What is her voting record in recent times?
I don't know
times?
If we have to give her a break, actually. I think we do have to come for her and say that was wrong. But she's said that. So now...
But that was wrong then, but now she's doing the right thing,
well,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it's like she made a mistake then, but now she's...
And it's not a mistake, though, is it? It's a whole mindset.
She didn't
accidentally walk
into
the wrong voting lobby, did she?
No, I think a lot of people would have thought that. Do you know what? I reckon... When was this, 1998? I'd have to ask my mum. I wonder whether she would have said gay marriage is okay. I wonder. Or my dad or my Christian sister. I wonder whether they would have agreed or not. It's an interesting question. I bet so many people we know would have disagreed with it in 1998.
By the way, I've just thought, her actions since the election tell us everything that we need to know about gay marriage, in that we are now in alliance with a homophobic party.
The DUP.
Yeah.
I can't believe I forgot that.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
So that tells you all you need to know, really.
That's a really good point.
You know, if she really believed that, then she wouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, I mean, that is awful. But here's a question. Would you do that? If you're the only way your party could survive and the only way you could get into government was to do a deal with the devil, even if you disagreed with what they were going for, you gave the country up to Jeremy Corbyn, what would you do?
That's I don't know. I'm like so cynical about politicians that I think they are always in it for themselves.
Me too.
I really don't trust them.
I don't either. They're not doing it for us.
So, but at the same time, I think even if it is just symbolic, the symbolism of the UK Prime Minister going to these awards is still pretty cool in itself.
Yeah, it's better than, I guess it's better than not doing it.
And
I think so.
I wonder if it's like a testament to society changing, the fact that she has done this. Like, that's a positive
about
our culture.
It's certainly an indication that, like...
It's a huge message to Russia and to America and to Iran and other countries where it's illegal and they kill you. It's a huge message. It's a brilliant thing that our Prime Minister, forget who the Prime Minister is or her name, the title, the office of the Prime Minister, attended this award ceremony to celebrate LGBTQ+ success. That's important.
Yeah, I think so. Dan?
Yeah, no, I agree.
So the question was, is she jumping on the bandwagon?
But I just think we should be going, that's the least you could be doing, not sort of shouting from the rooftops, well done.
Now that I agree with.
Yeah. This should be the start of better things from her, better behaviour from her.
Yeah, I mean, she's probably going to be out the door by the time this goes out, to be honest.
I really wanted to start singing High School Musical. This could be the start of something new.
Do it.
This could be... Yeah, exactly. It could be the start of something new. I hope so. I think you're right in what you said, Dan. That's the least you could be doing.
Yeah. Also, she won't be Prime Minister for very long, so this could be out of date.
Very quickly, any day.
Hopefully not by Monday, though.
No. You have to do that thing that they do on NPR where they say...
Should we do another version where we talk about her in the past tense?
On NPR, they say, this was recorded at this time.
Do you think she actually will... Do you think she will be gone? Obviously not by Monday, or maybe, but, like, I mean, I can't see it happening.
So our conclusion is Theresa May jumping on the LGBTQ plus bandwagon is yes, but that's not necessarily bad. That's kind of what we're saying, right?
Oh, it sounds awful, but yeah, I think so.
But she should do more. Dan is looking at me in a disapproving way.
There we go. Yes, but it's not necessarily bad. But she shouldn't expect a sort of standing ovation for it. She should expect people going, well, finally.
I don't know. It's like, you know what? Thank you for actually speaking ill of the dead Margaret Thatcher and saying that the party has done wrong in the past and coming out for what is literally just love. Thank you. That's where we're at. P.S. She maybe is not necessarily the nicest woman, but, you know.
That's a different debate.
You heard from James Barr and Dan Hudson, the hosts of the podcast A Gay and a Non-Gay, on this episode of The Gender Nod, where we asked, is Theresa May jumping on the LGBTQ plus bandwagon? A reminder, they have an event on Thursday 9th November at Waterstones on Tottenham Court Road, where they'll be interviewing the author of the book, David Bowie Made Me Gay, 100 Years of LGBT Music. We've linked to the event and the details for today's episode. This episode was presented by me. I'm Nastaran Tavakoli-Farr, or Naz in short, and it was co-produced by Katie Vogue. We'll be back next week, and until then, you can check out more at thegendernot.com. Get in touch via the Facebook page or email us at thegendernot@gmail.com. We love getting your thoughts and suggestions. And do get in touch if you've got an idea for a topic to untangle or if you'd like to be a guest on the podcast. Please take a moment to leave a review on iTunes. These massively help the podcast. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye for now.